Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite joy, wisdom, and laughter, engaging topics of our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective, with myself, Cynthia Sloan, and co-host,
Ani Avedisian. Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in with us tonight. As always, we welcome your questions and your comments, and we will be announcing the open to call a bit later on in the show. Apologies to everybody. Last month, I forgot to announce the open to call, and no one knew when to call in. So thank you for the 7,052 emails. I will make an absolute point of announcing it again. And just to be super good this time, let me give you the number in advance as well. 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227. Thanks.
Thank you. Tonight's topic, everyone, is energetic anatomy. And we're going to be talking about that from many different perspectives. I'd like to invite everyone to participate. And doing so, not only listening to what we have to share, but also looking at your own lives and what energy you have going on and how you're interacting with it. I want to share with people that there's a way to change your energetic anatomy. And you can do that. There are many tools out there. I invite people to contemplate, and again, only if it resonates, make it your own. But when you take a walk, when, let's say, people need to get out of a space just to refresh themselves or to get away from somebody because they need to clear their head, they're in a particular energetic anatomy. And when they leave that building and they take a walk through the forest into nature or take a walk away from the environment they're just in, most people in their humanity, when they get to the end of that walk, they feel better, they feel clearer. You have literally just walked and taken your own energy, your own mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual energy, and you have communicated and shared it with the forest, as an example, with the park, with the energetic anatomy of the water running, of the birds. You have consciously and unconsciously, knowingly and unknowingly, left a focus behind, and doing so allowed your physicality and all parts of you to communicate with a different surrounding that has a energetic anatomy of its own. In our lives, our environment is alive, and we are communicating with our environment, known or unknown, and our environment is communicating with us 24/7. It's never not communicating. And it's doing so with the end result of how you feel walking through that park. And so I invite people to use tools to let your energetic anatomy, which would be the energy and the source of who you are, your makeup, your mental body, your emotional body, your physical body, and your energy body. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about tools that you can use to affect not only yourself, but your environment. Ani, what do you think?
Oh, hey, you know, I was out for a walk this morning just for that very reason. I was feeling a bit down this morning, went out for a walk and really refreshed. You know, every thought we think is energy, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, and can anybody guess how many thoughts, about how many thoughts we have a day? No, any idea, Cynthia? I mean, studies were done on this, you know, by the Department of Thought Control.
Were they? My, I so want to know the outcome of that.
We think. It is thought that we have about 60,000 thoughts a day, each person. And each one of those, I'll go out on a limb and say, a not particularly focused thought pattern. Pretty random thought. And every single thought that we think affects everybody on some level. But even if we just think about what it does to ourselves and to our own energetic anatomy, speaking as somebody who pretty much sits in dimly lit rooms most of the time examining people's auras and chakras, it is said that I do some of my best work in the dark, you know. So, you know, I do sit and I'm just looking at auras and I'm looking at chakras and I'm looking at all the components of the energetic anatomy. And I can tell right away when somebody walks in if they've been out for that walk, you know, or not. In terms of cleaning up our energetic anatomy, we want to listen to some of the ideas that you have later on. But before we talk about how to clean them up, just a thought out there, because it's all about thought today, right? Let's be a little bit more focused on how we think and all of the thoughts that run through our minds. We do tend to get caught up in loops a lot of the time, in these behavioral patterns of being a little bit down, a little bit feeling victimized, or, you know, not wanting to go to work and ending up in all these little patterns that put us at a negative vantage point. So one of the best things about clearing up your energetic anatomy, before you actually do that, is to have a think about what you can do not to dirty it up so much. And constant, you know, mind exercise as well as physical exercise, healthy mind and healthy body, getting that chi moving, that pranic force moving, gets everything moving. So stuff that you don't need, all the heavy, depressing stuff, can actually literally be dissolved and resolved in love on a nice walk in the outdoors, something like that.
Great. I absolutely agree. You know, we often experience in our human form being one or more beings, hopefully, coming into our lives and changing our lives, either seeing us clearly or just their energy. Sometimes we really resonate with a person, sometimes we don't, but you might not even know them. That's all energy communication. So whether or not you believe in it or you don't, you are using it, whether you're in the supermarket line and you're looking at a stranger, quote-unquote, and you're not resonating with them, or you're falling in love with somebody who you don't even know their name yet, that is your energy anatomy. That's your light body and their light body communicating, connecting in the room, and the room acknowledging that that is happening. So there's this divine orchestration of events occurring at all times. You know, scenery can affect our energetic anatomy. Music affects our energetic anatomy. Locations, color, pictures, sound. So I really invite people to look at where you, if you're having a problem in a particular place in your life, whether it's your body, pay attention to where those flare-ups in your body, where is there, like Ani was saying, a repetitive script, soul script in your body, an injury or an ongoing wound that keeps returning. Pay attention, is it happening at work more? Is it happening when you're not honoring yourself, when you're thinking thoughts? I think somebody out there, this has been definitely used before, again, much like what Ani said, thoughts are things. So you're creating things. Are they coming back to you in a way, energetically and magnetically? What you send out there is going to come back to you. It's going to seek out the sender. So you want to look at your physical body, and if you're having problems with it, emotional body, mental clarity, or even spiritual connection, is the problem coming from your environment? Or is your environment supportive visually? Is it stimulating you visually to get in touch with your heart, your soul? Is it a peaceful environment? Are there visually colors, pictures? Is there music playing, heard or not heard by you, but quietly in the background? So you really want to be paying attention to the stage and the backdrop of your journey in this lifetime. And if it's not flowing or giving you the light or the attention that you desire, the good feeling, then look to bring into your scenery a scenery change. Get some different props, some different music, pictures, sound, color, and reinvoke or recreate and create life back into what is cohabitating with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and a lot of us work in sort of these giant office buildings with cubicles and this sort of forced air, and it's really difficult to sort of open a window and let the fresh air in, which is one of the most wonderful things you can do if you have that ability. What I used to do when I worked in that corporate field is I had a little fan, and I used to just blow the little fan about. Mm-hmm. And just really clear the air and move things once in a while, move stuff around the cubicle. Like you said, change the props, etc. But also, what's really important is not to have too much clutter on your workstation mm-hmm. as well. Just, you want a clear flow where you are. And as Cynthia was saying, you know, like attracts like. So when you're on your way to work in the morning and you're already putting out, like, bad vibes, you know, just do remember that subatomic particles communicate instantaneously with each other, regardless of where they are in the universe. Distance is no matter. And so thought is actually, and this kind of peeved Einstein because it ruined his relativity of something or another, but because he thought light was the fastest point of communication, but thought is faster than the speed of light.
But the thought came back and hit him in the head.
That's right. Good point, yeah. So, you know, thought is the fastest, in speed, it's the fastest type of communication, transportation. So when you're on your way to your office, when you're on your way to somewhere, sit up in your own mind. You know, write the picture of how you want the day to be. Write the picture of how you want your life to be, not what the reality is right now. You know, imagine yourself going in and actually having a good day. Imagine yourself going in and the person in cubicle B really smiling at you today and going, hey, gee, that was a great presentation you wrote the other day about blah, blah, blah. You know, that changes the vibration. That clears the energy because your thought is being projected forward like attracts like.
Yes, that's a very good point. So basically, communicating with your internal environment. So we have this external environment that we relate to or bounce off of or react to, but then we also have this internal environment that can bring a message, like Ronnie was saying, to the external environment of, I'm seeking peace, I'm waving a white flag, you know, not today, thank you very much, don't seek me out, this heat-seeking missile. So when you arrive at a location or you're nervous about a job interview, et cetera, I really invite people to take a picture of the ocean or a CD of sound waves or something that represents peace and centeredness and calmness. And even when if your palm is sweating and you're holding that picture, you're looking at that picture and you're breathing in the peace that you might not be feeling at that moment, but by allowing the thoughts to maybe share those two interactive stress and then peace, you will cancel them out, and what comes forth is a calming for you and possibly even how you present yourself. So, like Ani was saying, and I agree, your internal environment, you can communicate with it. Communication is the key to all life, and that's why so many things break down when communication breaks down. I invite you all to communicate with your internal environment and then create the external one to represent that that is a strong, intimate relationship of clarity, of contemplation, and most importantly, of love, where you're not hard on yourself and where your thoughts, not just your thoughts with others, but your thoughts with yourself, most importantly, actually, that they are kind, that they are loving, that they are forgiving, that they are enveloping you with what you want to receive, that you are allowing yourself to give it to what's most important first on the blueprint and map of your life, and that is you and where your location is.
Vantage point is everything. So, you know, do remember always the big picture stuff first before we come down to the human level. And, you know, we're supposed to be at the human level. We're here on the physical realm. Existing physically and non-physically at the same time. We're supposed to manifest. We're supposed to have a good time. We're supposed to have all these problems. It's all wonderful, but do remember, you know, we're supposed to have the car I picked out for myself at the auto show the other day. You know, if Infiniti is listening, it's the EX35.
In sure, they'll send it right
water
over.
Blue with white leather interior. But as I was saying, the official car of the Pacific Northwest Medical Intuitives Association, vantage point is everything. So even though we're having this human experience, let's remember the truth of our being is divinity. So let's think from a divine perspective, which I believe we talk about that at the beginning of each show, everything from an infinitely divine perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So as we get up in the morning, we remember who we are, and we remember that God loves us unconditionally and that our opinion of ourselves shouldn't vary too much from Spirit's opinion of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really good place to start your grounding for the day, to set up your energetic anatomy to receive the highest possible vibration.
Yes, absolutely, I agree. I invite people to contemplate either somebody you know or a sacred being that, or an angel or a loved one on the other side, whoever it may be that you think of fondly, that you, when you think of them, your heart opens, you feel laughter or smile or peace. What you're doing literally is you are communicating with your energy to theirs and back and forth. So I invite you, everyone, if it resonates, to sit wherever you're sitting and to visualize what it would feel like to have a visitation from somebody either alive or in their light body or an angelic presence or a sacred presence. Think about how most of humanity would really allow themselves to let go of everything that is limiting about them in that moment. I mean, if an angel walks into your home, you're not going to be thinking about, well, and bless you if you are, but when that angel walks in and it's Archangel Michael as an example and is looking at you and that sacred heart is sharing love and light and seeing you clearly and affirming to you that there is more than just this life, etc., whatever your experience is that you are waiting to have or that you've had, think about how you would allow your energetic anatomy internally and externally to be fully present and focused on this sacred moment, and you would allow yourself to experience all that exchange. You would allow yourself to have the experience. Most likely your emotional body would react, but you would be fully present. So where are you? And really allow your senses to have that thought and to give life to it and then to allow your body to experience the outcome. So a lot of times we're just looking, and especially now in the world, for what is the next experience that's going to give us peace, that's going to give us permission to be calm and to believe and to trust. And so I invite you to create that experience within you by calling in whatever you feel would bring that to you.
Incredible. Let's create it with our own thoughts. You know, like Cynthia was saying, if an archangel or a lighted being, a divine one, came in and said, hello, and, you know, like shed all this amazing light on you, and you felt that unconditional love, and if you could see your aura the way we can, it would just, all the little calcified spots within it, all the little heartache in the emotional body, it would completely dissolve.
Absolutely.
And everything would be resolved in love. And then you'd be able to remember that emotion. You'd be able to remember that vibration and recreate it any time that you can. So, you know, even if you don't get visited by an archangel tonight, and it could happen.
Yes, it could.
Even if you don't get visited by an archangel tonight, one of the things you have to remember is, like we said, vantage point is everything. Your point of attraction is everything. When you are feeling down, we don't want you to suddenly go from abject depression to trying to feel fantastic,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're going to bury some feelings alive along the way. But incrementally, try and get yourself to a happier space by remembering something that actually happened to you that made you very, very happy,
mm-hmm.
like the visitation from the archangel or a wonderful relationship you had or a wonderful memory. And try to recreate that vibration within you. And the more you can do that, the easier it will be to hold on to that vibration and the easier it will be for you to think good thoughts and then attract those thoughts. And it keeps going and going and going until you get to that wonderful place of what we call centered joy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And integration. So all of a sudden you're not living a fragmented life of happy moment at 4, unhappy moment at 4:30, happy again at 5. So you're not living a fragmented life, but you're integrating more of a flow, less of a fight, and your day flows through instead of stopping and panicking and then breathing, etc. So we are definitely talking about an integration as well. And I spoke earlier about tools that you can utilize that are right there in your home, etc. Music can inspire you, whether it's instrumental, whether you're listening to the words, because music is alive. It has an energetic anatomy of its own. It has a ability to communicate through your chakra system, through your energy body, through your feeling body. That's why many people are inspired and feel that anything's possible with some songs. Other people are brought to tears, etc. It's not just what the music stands for, it's a statement of truth, but it's also the energy that the music is communicating with and through your energetic anatomy. So I invite you to bring music into your life in a way as a tool, a way that empowers you or gives you what you feel you need to get through to more of an integrated life and less of a fragmented one. Pictures of angels, of the beach, of the ocean, of doggies and kitties, whatever works for you, to have those around to look at, and not just to look at in a peripheral view, but allow yourself to stop and look at them, breathe in their joy, their unconditional love, and say, I accept it for myself. And then again, nature, always going out into nature, will be the scenery. Nature has an energetic anatomy that is, it holds its soul imprint. Nature holds its perfection and wholeness. And so when you're walking through it fragmented, most often why people feel so whole when they move through that walk is not just the physiological part of breathing and releasing aspects in the body that help to change the focus, but energetically you've just walked through a perfect imprint of wholeness looking at you and recognizing your wholeness and back and forth. Our environment is alive and talking to us at all times. When you interact with a person, place, or thing that is in their wholeness, comfortable with it, and sustaining it, then you are able to more readily feel calm and accept your own, knowingly or unknowingly.
And, I, you know, when it comes to these walks in nature, and thank you for stressing what you said about nature, please, those of you can who have children or who have access to other people's children that can be kidnapped for a while, do take them outside and take them on these trails, because a lot of kids, in my opinion these days, and I understand the internet and I understand all the wonderful things that it does and I do understand what a great connection it is, but a lot of the kids these days are quite simply too wired to be inspired.
Mm.
And that's something that I find in my practice. There's too much static going on inside their own heads and they can't be releasing any of that static. And it's making them a little bit nutty. Now, when we go for a simple walk, I mean, that's the politically correct term for it. So when we go for a simple walk in nature, what that does is it actually grounds us. It actually grounds our chakras and grounds all of our systems into alignment. And when we ground stuff, it's not to root us to planet Earth. We don't need to be rooted to planet Earth. We have a body and we have gravity. And we have three meals a day. That's plenty to be rooted to planet Earth. What grounding really means, and this is very misunderstood, is bleeding off surplus static from the system and releasing all that no longer serves you in the electrical charge. That's really what grounding means.
So it's like grounding an electrical wire.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You want stability. You want stability in the circuitry.
Right.
You don't want surge.
No.
And we've got a lot of kids surging these days.
And if your name is Surge, we're not talking about you.
No, we're not. Unless we should be, of course. So, yeah. So, yep, okay. And you know what? I was probably going to forget, so I'm going to remember. I'm going to announce the open to call. Yay! And that number, one more time, is 1-877-876-5227. One more time, 1-877-876-5227. Questions or comments, we'll be delighted to hear from you. Thank you.
You know, I love this subject because energetic anatomy, it can be down to the finite details of allowing yourself to be extremely excited because you've bought new socks or jammies, or you've just bought new sheets for your bed and everything's crisp and clean, and how excited that prop, and I'm going to call it a prop, of that sheet, of that sock, of those jammies, how excited you can get about that experience. But what's really happening is you're allowing your energetic anatomy to raise to a higher vibration of excitement, because you're going to allow yourself to experience joy. You're going to allow yourself to experience comfort. You're going to allow yourself to experience safety, especially if you have new socks, jammies, and sheets.
You have safety.
You have safety. For some people, that's an example, of course. For some people, it might be other things. But one of the things you want to look at in your own energetic anatomy is that when we talk about energetic anatomy, we're talking about who you are, your ability to have your physical body, your ability to have your emotional body, mental, your spiritual body, and for all those energy parts to be communicating with your environment. But do not mistake that when you are allowing yourself to experience freedom, joy, empowerment, excitement, that is not coming from the prop or the tool. It's coming from you interacting with the color, the picture, and the music, and allowing yourself to release yourself from any limitation and allow that energy to come up and be recognized by your consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, yes, we're told to suppress our emotions a lot. I think we're taught to suppress our emotions a lot, not be too happy, not be too joyous, not be too sad. We're supposed to be something in the middle, you know. And I agree. We don't want to over. You know, people who are overly joyous, they're like ridiculously joyous, can blow out their energetic anatomies just as well as people as they can. you must have seen that too. You know, and if people are like off the Richter scale joyous, it can be a little confusing. So we do want some sort of balance, but I think that we're not taught to really express ourselves. And the reason we have these clogged up energetic anatomies is because we don't resolve our emotions. We don't think things through. We tend to bury them a lot. So do, you know, feel the joy, feel the hurt, feel the pain, feel everything until you can get back to that point of joy. It's all about resolving everything. And that way, when you do resolve it, you can release all that no longer serves you, which is my favorite phrase, and I will repeat 10,000 times for the rest of my life. You know, if you're done with something, if you're done with a lesson in your life, it doesn't push your buttons anymore. So, you know, have a think about all the things perhaps that annoy you on a daily basis. If you go to work and you're annoyed every single day, why? What aspects of your work is annoying you? Yeah. These are the sort of questions we're asking you to ask yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that you can get up and get to that vibration of happiness and sense of joy much faster. Because
mm-hmm.
that's the point of attraction that you want. It doesn't mean you're never going to have a bad day or you're not going to experience a different type of emotion, because we're human beings and that's what we do on this realm. And we do it so very, very well. But the whole point of having these is to forgive and move on, is to resolve and to move on. And by every time you resolve an emotion in love by understanding where it comes from and having the guts and the faith inside of yourself to really feel it fully and not be afraid of it and not drown it or medicate it necessarily, you know, then you are expanding consciousness and you are making the universe a bigger place.
Absolutely. You know, you brought up fear, and I thank you so much for bringing that up, because when we look at the energetic anatomy of fear versus love, you know, there are studies out there, and forgive me, the name escapes me, of the ability to bless your water. There's a study of that magnificent, brilliant doctor who studied water crystals.
Emoto?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
That would be him. Who studied water crystals, when you put emotion or even the title of an emotion on a particular water bottle or cup, glass, and then you put another one, how the water crystals were either distorted and broken apart, or they were perfect, looking specimens of like snowflakes or water flakes. But in any case, fear, false energy appearing real, or love, life offering valuable experiences, whichever way you look at it, when you are interacting with a person or a situation, you have always the opportunity to come from fear or love. And I invite people to start contemplating the word love before reacting. Contemplating it could even be saying, I choose love, or I am love, or even during an altercation, repeating the word sacred love to yourself. Because what you're doing is you are not allowing yourself to absorb the negativity, the imbalance, the hardship, or the separation that's coming at you, either from a person or a situation. When you are repeating sacred love or focusing on whatever works for you that creates that love vibration and focusing on it, you are actually giving yourself permission to not absorb the energetic anatomy of that imbalance. You're instead informing that energetic anatomy that you are coming from a different place. And you will also find that your emotional response and mental clarity is much different when met with a situation that in the past you would find yourself having to heal from for days, versus taking that moment and repeating what you would like your emotional, mental, or energetic anatomy's response to be to this situation. You're not necessarily trying to change the person coming at you or the situation at you. You are focusing on how you are or are not going to react to it. And therefore, literally changing the dynamics.
Just like that T-shirt we used to have back in the 60s that said, what if they gave a war and no one came? Seriously, what if the army had to hold a bake sale to go to war? You know, you're standing there, you're not trying to change anyone's mind, you're just saying, I'm not participating in this particular vibration. It's not cool.
Right.
I'm not feeding the fuel, I'm not feeding the flame of that, and therefore I'm not magnifying the situation.
Right, and fear, actually, folks, fear is an energetic that needs to be fed. It does not sustain itself on its own. It needs participators, and therefore it desires to push your buttons. It desires fear or anger, etc., desires a free-for-all as far as, you know, as many individuals as it can possibly absorb or consume, the bigger it grows and becomes. Love is an energy that is more flowing and is sustained in and of itself and seeks like opportunities, and then it flows and grows. It doesn't pile on. So just be mindful the next time your buttons are being pushed and you feel, you're feeling it in your energetic anatomy, you're feeling that energy asking you to join it, that you have freedom, and that freedom can be defined as choice. And in that moment, you can make a choice to remember who you are, remember where you're coming from, and that you do not have to represent yourself in the same way it's being offered to you at that moment.
Remember that love, unconditional love, is the creative force of the universe. And fear is just a manifestation of our ego self. And we created our ego self. And we created it as a gauge for our spiritual evaluation. So it's something that we created to remind us that we're here for the contrast and that love overcomes all. So, well put, remember, fear really isn't real. It's just something that we have created. Now, look around you today and all the fear that's been generated over the last few years here, and let's just talk about this country. Luckily, those days are over and things are beginning to change a little bit. But now there's fear of the economy, fear of this, fear of what's going to happen, fear of change, which, you know, change is the only true sign of growth anyway. So all of a sudden, because of the change, we are, everyone's terrified about what's going to happen because it's unknown. Well, of course, everything's unknown. You know, we make it up as we go along. And we are the creators of our own experience. So let's really take a look at, you know, if we're standing in fear, and all the papers are telling us that we're all going to be losing money and we're all going to be losing this and we're all going to be losing that, we don't have to buy into it, like Cynthia says. Take a moment to remember what's real and what your reality is and how everything can be changed with a thought.
Absolutely. And that is where, when you think to yourself, I don't have power over this experience, this person, or this world, if thoughts are things and you can create through thoughts, you can affect your own internal energetic anatomy and your external one, then you have power, the power to affect yourself and others. I will say that the power of love, human love, spirit love, love on all levels, has the ability to transcend, transform, and transmute in a much more long-term, ongoing and unending capacity, where it creates community and connects, where fear is temporary, it is false, and it is, a lot of people, let's put it this way, if there is a group of people that are creating fear and they're feeling power, empowerment or power by creating that fear, most likely their ability to be in power is short term, because they're going to have to get a whole lot of people to agree to fuel that fear and continually fuel it, or it's going to dissipate and it's no longer going to exist.
Quite right. You know, if it's real, if it comes from spirit, then really it transcends the fear and you're feeling as if you really are floating downstream with a situation. If we're working too hard with something, if we're actively always up against the current, and we're trying to affect change and, you know, affect circumstances in our lives, I think we're doing too much and not thinking enough. And again, I know I keep going back to this, but we really need to focus on how we think. We need to think more and do less. As they say, measure twice, cut once, you know, back in the old days. So, you know, never underestimate the value of your personal experience. on this journey and what it means, what your needs are, what you know, what your point of power is. You know, find the meaning of your own existence, regardless, irrespective of anybody else's needs or demands, and find it yourself through your meditations and through your own inner dialogue, not through reading somebody else's book and just taking it for granted or buying into somebody else's version of things. Really try to center yourself in your spirit self and say, how does this resonate with me?
Absolutely.
Does this feel right? Am I, you know, what's going on here? This is out of control. Is my 401k really going to dump? If it does, is it going to come back? I'm sure it'll come back. I'll think it back.
Well, I think, too, that was a great point you brought up as far as knowledge. There's so many in humanity seeking knowledge because they're seeking the way that will bring them peace, the way that will bring them freedom and healing, etc. And I agree with that you should seek out as many avenues as you possibly can only so that it reflects greater what your own truth is. However, I invite everyone, before you open a book on a subject and you feel you know nothing about it, or before you begin the next chapter in a book and it's on a certain subject, I invite you to get in touch with your own infinite wisdom about that subject. Close the book or before you open it, ask yourself, what do I feel? What are my thoughts? What is my feeling body? What do I think? And what does my spirit have to say about this subject? Take a piece of paper out. Write how you feel about it. Connect with it. Then read the 150 million books that are out there. Listen to the talks and interact. And then go back to what you wrote because you'll recognize that either the person or the situation is empowering and validating you and where you're coming from. They're in the same energetic anatomy flow, or you'll recognize, well, that doesn't resonate with me or connect for me, but my own truth does. So sometimes when we're out seeking teachers and healers and motivators and masters to follow or to learn from, I invite you to recognize that you also have within you a energetic anatomy that will tell you if your intuition really connects to what's going on or if it doesn't. If it doesn't, use it as a tool to bring out what does. So meaning what I do not resonate with, then it's much more clearer what I do resonate with. So the other thing is, knowledge is power, but at a certain level, if you are just book read and you close the book and you just hold it at one realm of your energetic anatomy, it stays just as knowledge. Until you put action to that knowledge and you physically live that knowledge and the actions, meaning allowing change, which is the only constant to come in and to change your daily actions, then it becomes wisdom. So knowledge, book read, is excellent and it is powerful, but empowerment and turning knowledge into wisdom means the application.
Yes, the practical application of knowledge is really what activates it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you were saying about people trusting that they're getting the good information, the right information. There are so many people out there, and I'm sure I was at some point too, and still have moments. You know, we always judge our self-worth, or we think we have a distinct lack of self-esteem and self-worth at times. And we're not trusting that the information is going to come through us like we're some sort of a lesser mortal. You know, and maybe it's something to do with being on the physical realm, but, you know, we want somebody else to do it first before we do it. Like, nobody was able to run the 4-minute mile ever, ever. And then Roger Bannister goes, oh, poo, I can do this. And so, you know, I don't know if he said poo, but, you know, and then, so he ran the 4-minute mile. And then everyone was like, oh, I can do this. And now everyone can run, well, I can't, but I can run the 54-minute mile. Everyone can run the 4-minute mile because it was done, you know. But he didn't want anybody else to do it. He said he just looked within himself and said, I think I can do this. I'll go for it. Yeah. So do trust the worthiness of your own being. And I think we just expect so much of ourselves and we feel we have to do so much rather than just sit and think and channel the thoughts. I have it on good authority that even if all you did for the rest of your life was to sit naked on a rock and go, la, 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 you know, the worthiness of your being would be enough for God to support you in all that you wanted to do.
Or clothed would be good as well.
Clothed would be good, but I was thinking probably in a quiet place where no one could see you. That's the only reason I would be naked. Well, it wouldn't be me anyway. That thought just doesn't resonate. But you understand what I'm saying, you know?
Absolutely. I think permission, self-permission, you know, there's a belief, you know, there's that saying many people have heard, and I apologize, I don't remember where it originated from, but it's what you believe, you perceive, and eventually you receive. And it's the permission to, like an athlete, as an example, about to run a race. If he really believes that it is possible, the electrodes, if you will, or the electricity through his chemical body and through his muscular body is getting the permission to already finish the race and already have the fuel and the strength needed to get there. By even before the race begins, that particular athlete saying to themselves, I can do this, and I can see it, and I can feel it, and I give myself permission to experience it. And therefore, the strength that that runner has versus the runner next to him that says, I don't think I can do this, it's not possible, why am I even trying? The message that the energetic anatomy is getting is to lessen the strength, diminish. You know, it's interesting because the universe doesn't judge. If somebody is saying, I'm not going to be able to do this, the universe goes, okay. If somebody says, I'm going to be able to do this, the universe goes, okay. You know, there's no inflection in the universe's voice, like, yay, or, oh, no. It's okay with the universe. It's going to come in with its raw, purified state of energy and amplify what your intention is.
Yeah, I find myself explaining this, thanks for bringing that up, Cynthia, several times a day. You know, God loves us all equally. Spirit loves us all equally. And therefore, the laws of the universe have to be impersonal to reflect that. So whatever you want for yourself, good, bad, or ugly, but let's stick with the good because we've all been through so much together, you know, the universe pours itself into that thought, and depending on how focused your thought form is, the universe makes it manifest for you, and, you know, you help it along by having a focused thought form. So that means that the universe has no sense of humor, really, at all. It has no sense of judgment or evaluation. If you tell it something is and you really believe it and you buy into it, it goes, oh, I better give that to her. Because she believes that.
Yes, it is a self-fulfilling relationship with the raw, pure energy of the universe, where, again, if you, it's not where you come from, it's what you do with where you came from. It's not that you come from a place of knowledge or privilege, etc., and therefore somebody who doesn't or doesn't even recognize that that's a possibility. It is a stream of consciousness. It's a continuum that we are all interlinked and interconnected, and that if it's possible and it exists for one person in one part of the world, that means that through even a dream state for another person on the other side of the world, they might start dreaming of or even having experiences of what's possible without ever even seeing what was possible. So we are all connected to the mass consciousness, and when you allow yourself to experience and give yourself permission to allow the universe to come in and amplify and manifest for you, then you're going to have that experience. I mean, either way, again, like Ani was saying, negative or positive, it's up to you.
Yeah. And I mean, eventually the negative part of it will be very much upstream to what you want. You know, because you want to attract what you vibrate. But, you know, I just want to share one quick exercise that I do a lot. And it's not push-ups because I don't do this very well. Even though I do have a personal trainer now, I don't do the push-ups. But, you know, so people come to me and they're like, okay, right, okay, I get these universal principles, Ani. Whoopee-doo, that's how the universe works. Well, how do I train myself to buy into it after years of limited consciousness and limited thinking and lack of self-worth? So there's a lot of different exercises, but I find that the easiest one is you take 2 or 3 minutes a day, that's all, and you allow the universe to interview you, just like you would get, like, David Frost to interview you or something. You know? I'm not talking about the Frost-Nixon thing, but, you know, just, so here's how it is. You want to write the story of your life the way you want it to be, not the way that it is now, okay? So we get that. So what are you going to do? You're going to write a letter to the universe and just want to deliver it somewhere? No. So allow the universe to interview you. I do this every day, and the person who interviews me on behalf of the universe is a very muscular, very buffed angel dressed in white with big wings, and comes to me every day and goes, "Hi, Arnie. So, how are you today? Are you making a lot of money? How's your business? Are you fulfilled?" And the universe asks me all these questions like an interview, and my response is the response that I want to see. Yeah, my practice is really, really busy. I'm so busy, I have to block off time for vacation. It's a little exercise that whatever you want to see in your life, allow the universe to do this little mock interview with you, and do it every single day until you perfect what it really is that you want in your life. And in the process of it, of course, you'll change it as you adapt and you evolve, and it'll give you an idea of what it is that you want. Because let's face it, a lot of us out there, some of us are confused, some of us are clueless, and some of us are everything in between. And doing an exercise like this really brings into alignment what it is that matters to us. And we actually do find we all want money and all that, but that's not the focal point for us. So an exercise like this refines for us what it is that will fulfill us in our spiritual quest.
Absolutely. And it sounds like when you talk to your angel and you say, "Yes, I am all of this," you are also giving permission for that to come in.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You're giving permission for it to be delivered to you. Just like, you know, a lot of humanity in our physical form, we know ourselves or don't know ourselves due mostly to relationships. Relationships with one another. A lot of us in our childhood and then in our adult lives still seeking to know ourselves and our truth because we weren't given a chance as a child. You might have had to survive your childhood, or you were never seen, et cetera, et cetera. And so relationships of comfortability with accepting your bigger anatomy view, what you see a reflection and an aspect of who you are, the clarity or the breakdown of all that is, if you have had relationships most of your life that were not supportive of you, a lot of what you don't know, you don't know. You won't know how to either ask for a loving, accepting, a kind relationship because you also don't necessarily feel comfortable with having it and holding it and relating to it in your present life. So there's also another aspect of relatability. Your ability, and we know that's a word, but your ability
it is
to,
now.
Yeah, woo! So your ability to relate to what you're asking for, giving permission, it happens in one very simple way, or as many ways that you can think of, but through love, through self-love. So as an example, you want a relationship with yourself and others of comfortability, but you've never had it. As an example to you only, you would say to yourself, I or to your angel, as Ani was saying, buff or lean or mean or holding, an instrument of music. But either way, the ability to really focus on what it is that you want and giving yourself permission to love yourself into saying, "I don't know what it looks like, I don't know what it feels like, I don't know what it sounds like, but I want this, and I don't know how it's going to fit into my life, but I want it as well." And I give myself permission to recognize not only my wants, but to recognize that I will make a place for it in my life. I will accept change, because a lot of us want that difference in our lives, but then we don't want anything to change. So we have one fist clenched and the other hand open, and we're going, "Well, why isn't this happening? Or why am I only getting half of clarity or half of love?" You have to know that, accept self-love and say, "I want this. I don't know what it looks like, but I will make room for it in love and with courage and with peace within." And again, use your own words, but allow the manifestation to happen.
Absolutely. You know, we don't always know what we want, but we do know that we want to feel better. And that's the start. So learning to get our point of attraction to that happier feeling place, that's where all the good stuff starts.
Mm-hmm.
So remember, release all that no longer serves you. You don't need to carry all this baggage around with you. Resolve the emotion and move on. And I don't think there's a better word than love to meditate on.
Mm-hmm.
In whatever language. Love is a beautiful word in whatever language.
Yes, absolutely. And it's literally the word, if you will, that was used for creation and co-creation. So when you're focusing upon that, the equation of love, whether you're knowing or unknowing about it, focusing on the word, you're also focusing on creating.
Aren't you glad you tuned in? I mean, you could be reading all those boring books on theoretical physics where all these physicists, they write all these mathematical equations and go, see, I was right. And you go, huh? And always saying, you know, and what they're trying to say is, oh, it's all about love. Dare I sing the song?
No, don't.
Okay.
All we need is love. Was that the one?
Do. Okay, next time, folks, I promise.
Thank you, everyone, so much for tuning in and for allowing our voices and our laughter and our contemplations to be graced by your presence. And we're so appreciative of this opportunity. And this is about to wrap it up for us tonight. So thanks so much for tuning in. Our next show will be on February 23rd, and we're going to be discussing molecular structure, how to change everything from your food to your bank account to reflect what you want it to, literally in detail how to do that.
Yeah, that don't miss that show, because I'm really interested in that show. That's going to be a really good show. We love your emails. Please continue to write to us at brazilbrit@gmail.com. That's brazilbrit@gmail.com. And this is Ani Avedisian, encouraging you to let your imagination drive your incarnation.
And this is Cynthia Sloan. If it resonates, make it your own.